Praise the Lord.
Radio.
Praise the Lord. This is Erica Joseph Shepherd. I'd like to welcome you to Blog Talk Radio. This is actually a replay of a blog talk that was done the other day on my book, The Spiritual Subject Unto You. We had quite a few problems. So I want you to listen to this. And I want, once again, I would like to thank my guests that came on the show and were so gracious in talking about the ministry with me. And our number is 1-877-795-7110. 1-877-795-7110. You can buy the book at Amazon.com, and the name of it is The Spirit
is our subject unto you. And I have two very special guests today. And one of my guests read the book. As a matter of fact, they both have read the book. And one of my guests said, you know, Erica, you should have everybody read this book before you minister to them, and it would help them greatly. And so what I want to talk about is I want to talk about my book. I want to talk about the effect the book has on the ministry and, honestly, how they feel about the book. Now, yes, both of you, you do not have to give your name. You can give the country you're in, the state you're in, but the reason I don't want you to give your name is I want you to be free. And I don't think your name is important because God knows your name. However, if you choose to give your name, you know, that's okay too. So good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
After all of this, I would like, I know, you won't believe what happened. The last person who was going to talk about my book, the whole thing went silent. So we sat up here silent, talking, and it was all garbled up. But Jesus is Lord, and this is the time. So it doesn't matter which one of you will go first. Identify yourself by your country or your city or your state or however you would like to.
Okay. I can go first. I am in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
And I started to drive over to see Erica. I believe it was the second or the third time she gave me the book, The Spirits Are Subject to You. And prior to my going there, I knew, and this is one thing I will stress, that I had recognized that I had a problem that was spiritual. And so when she gave me the book and I came back and I started to read it, I got so much information from the book that because it started, you know, the book helped me to understand how the spirit realm works. And the book also helped me. And I have the Holy Spirit. I have the Holy Spirit. But in reading the book, it helped me to recognize that the Holy Spirit that is in me is actually greater than anything that the devil would use. So it's something that I had known, but I did not know how to operate in the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I read it, I could not put it down. And I realized that the information that I was getting out of the book, it was almost like it would bring the things to the surface that when I would go back eventually, as I went back for another, and we went through a deliverance session, I got so much more done because I now knew what was operating in me, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. It makes a lot of sense. Now, my other guest, let's hear your testimony, because we got two different people here, two different situations, and from two different geographies. Go ahead, my other guest.
So I'm from Toronto, Canada, and my experience is actually a lot different. I read the book after I went through the deliverance ministration with Ms. Erica. So when I was actually going to go for the deliverance, I was praying before that I said, okay, God, I want to have a mighty deliverance, because I've gone through deliverance sessions before, but I knew that when I was going to South Carolina for this, it was something different based on other testimonies that I have heard. So in my prayers, I was asking God, I want to have a mighty deliverance when I go down there, and I want to have an encounter with you. And that's exactly what happened. Prior to that, I was aware of a lot of hidden works of darkness that God exposed. And so it was one of those things that, as this other guest was saying, you were having that knowledge of the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of every believer. But this time, the book, and through the deliverance, it gave me a better understanding and to really walk in the power and the authority that I have through Jesus. And so it's a different kind of a deliverance in a way that you really have an encounter with all this spirit, demons, and that actually manifest and that are talking through this same body that the Holy Spirit is supposed to be dwelling in. And so it's one of those that the more you are cleansed from all of this unwanted spirits, all of these unclean spirits, and all of these demons, then that's when the Holy Spirit can fully reign inside of you and fill you up wholly. It's not that it didn't mean that the Holy Spirit wasn't there. It was just that until I got to a point that I was able to be cleansed and purged from all of these things, that now the Holy Spirit has a different reign in my life. Just as an example, after the whole deliverance, I came back here in Toronto, and I know that my spiritual eyes have been opened. I was starting to see things in the spirit realm that I wasn't able to before. At first, it was very overwhelming, and I had to talk to Ms. Erica about it, because I didn't know if I was imagining things or is it something that is really... my eyes have really opened. And yes, it's a different kind of discernment. It's a discernment that I never had before. My prayer life is different as well. Before I went through the deliverance, I had like a prayer point, a prayer structure. It was one of those things that, okay, I have this prayer point that I have to do, and after I've done that, it's okay. And at that time, with my walk with the Lord at that time, it felt like I was doing the right thing. But it was actually after the deliverance that I had all these revelations that even the people around me, my close friends, were saying that, look, you're so devoted to your church, you're working there, but I haven't seen any fruits, and so I know that there's something wrong. Fruits meaning, you know, like she knows what I've been asking the Lord for and how I just really want to excel in my walk with the Lord. The dedication were there, but the fruits of that was not being seen by me and apparently people around me. So after the deliverance is when even my prayer life was different. I read the Bible different. It really comes alive. It really is the word that comes alive as you read it. So that's just a little bit of what I can share.
Okay, but I want you to share this too. It wasn't easy, was it? Your deliverance was not easy.
No, it was not easy because I had a different understanding about it. All of this was so new to me that I came there and I was, okay, not to be too blunt about it, but it was more of like, I came down there, I didn't think anything was wrong with me. I was, you know, as I said, I was serving in church. I was at church twice a week, if not more. I was very careful with my relationships. In my eyes, I wasn't doing anything that would come across as, oh, she's not walking according to what the word is saying. And so when I came down for the deliverance, I had preconceived ideas like, oh, yeah, sure, I was going to pop up a couple of things and, yeah, sure, everything would be fine. But when I went down there and when the whole deliverance came, I was overwhelmed because, one, I wasn't sure if this was real, what was going on with all the spirits talking back, and I was not in control. I knew that it wasn't me talking, but it was a different understanding how the spirits or demons were talking through me and talking back and just divulging all of these things. And it was difficult in a way because as all these things were being revealed, my rationale was like, no, this can't be. I can't believe this is happening. And so the process of the deliverance was more of, it was a battle within me because there are certain things that was being revealed and I was trying to rationalize that, no, that can't be, that's not true. But then after, when I came back and another part of it was, so this is just another thing that even before I came back, my body just went through such, I guess, a shock from all of it. Just for you coughing all these things and when the spirits and the demons are coming out, like your body is just in positions that you never even thought of that it could happen to you. That's how I was thinking. Different personalities that came that I had no idea, but then afterwards I realized, well, that makes sense, that it explains the certain things, the certain behaviors that I used to have. And so it was one of those things. Actually, it came to a point that I was battling in my mind that, no, this can't be, that Ms. Erica, through the deliverance, had to put me outside of her veranda because she was saying that I am not working hard for this just on my own and you're being friends with these things. And so I come to a point that I'm like, okay, these are real and I need to find it in me to cast these things out. I need to get rid of all these things that I was able to really realize that, wow, this is real. The spirit world is real. The spirit realm is real. And yes, your body, your that's supposed to be a temple of God, can possess these things through sins, through from your very foundation, from the very moment you were created in the womb. So I just had a different understanding with that. And then so now when I came back and I started reading the book, it didn't come easy. It was, I knew that there were challenges with it because as much as I wanted to read it, there would be interruptions or I wasn't able to find the time to do it. But then after I got to a certain part and I got to the, because there are prayers at the end as well. When I did the prayers, and actually it was funny because when I was reading the book, I got to a point where I finished it and I was to do the prayers and I was in a room full of people. I wanted to start to do the prayers, but it says to pray them out loud and I just was mindful that, okay, I think other people around me would be kind of wondering what's wrong, why I'm passing out wishes in here. So I had to wait until I got home that night to start doing the prayers. And then it took me 2 nights to do the prayers. And the very last prayer part, the prayer point that I did, and it was asking the Holy Spirit to fill me. I had such an overwhelming presence and encounter with the Holy Spirit here, and I just knew it. It was, you just really felt that joy. It really is true that when in His presence there is fullness of joy, and it was just that the presence of that joy, of that peace, was just around me in here, and I was just so happy. It was, I love when that happens, and it's something that I always want to have each and every day, and it's one of those things that it doesn't come easy. You really have to seek God with your whole heart and to diligently seek Him, and He really manifests Himself to you. So, yes, I'm very grateful for that experience.
Now, my other guest, you kept saying, Erica, it's those hidden things.
this is something I was so serious about it that every opportunity that I got, I said, you know what, I'm going to put gas in the car and I'm going to drive down to South Carolina. I mean, I just kept going, and each time there would be some different, it would always go into a different area, because the car, now, I knew that there were some foundational things. I knew some things were wrong, but mm-hmm. there were some things that started to come up that is the hidden things. And a lot of the times, if it's hidden, that's the one that you don't know. And so there, every single time that I would go to a deliverance session, it would go in a direction. For instance, I knew of a certain thing that had happened in my childhood, but then as I would go through the deliverance, it brought it into a deeper area. And so yes. as they were being exposed, the beauty of it is they are being exposed, but they're coming up and coming out, and then
yes.
there is the Holy Spirit that actually comes back into the area. So
yes.
out with the old, but the Spirit of God coming inside, and that is the difference. Because when you have had problems, you tend to go to different deliverance. This is the first time that I've been. There's an echo. I don't know if anybody else is hearing it.
Don't worry about it. Okay.
Any other deliverance that I've gone through a session, and the part where the Holy Spirit, once the dark force is out, the Holy Spirit come in, and the other caller mentioned the overwhelming presence of the Holy Spirit coming back in to take control, because that scripture that says when a demon is cast out and it goes through the waterless places, and if it
yes.
it will come back and it finds its house clean and swept
clean.
If there is not something in place, it's going to come back with seven more than
yes.
the state is going to be worse. Well, I realized that every time I would go through a very deep session with Erica, the part at the end, she would lead me through an activation, I guess, of the Holy Spirit coming to take back those places that, for whatever the reason, the devil had ground.
Yes.
Let me say something here for my audience, too. I probably haven't emphasized it as much, but I don't do deliverance. I do the integrated healing prayer model, which is exorcism, deliverance, inner healing, and it will bring about physical healing in your body. Because Jesus is able to heal to the uttermost. Jesus can heal the spirit, which, if you're born again, we know your spirit has been sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Jesus can heal your soul, and Jesus can heal your physical body. Now, every unbeliever needs to have their spirit regenerated, sealed by the Holy Spirit. Or in other words, they need to receive salvation. Okay?
Yeah.
So when you ladies came here, it wasn't just for deliverance. The Lord sent you here, number one. He doesn't send just anybody here. So number one, I knew that there was a high prophetic calling on your life. I knew
that you have been attacked by the messenger of Satan through hindering spirits.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you were bound by those hidden works or those hidden things. But the key thing is I knew that both of you love God, and your purpose for being delivered was to be filled with more of God so that you could serve him more in the fullness. So I already knew that. So my job then was only one thing, to facilitate and get rid of the hidden oppression, the hidden works, the hidden things of darkness, and any and all hidden word-based programming operating through any hidden spirit that,
mm-hmm.
you know, whose sole purpose was to what hinder you from fulfilling God's plan and purpose in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, saying that, guess number two, in your experience, God healed your body too, didn't he?
Yeah.
He healed your body too.
Yes.
Your physical body.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So what I guess I want my audience to understand is that God is not limited. God is not limited. He can heal you everywhere you need to be healed.
Yes.
And so, guess number one, also, a lot of your affliction was just being born. A lot of your affliction came through being born in a holiness, in a family, that adhered to holiness, and people targeted your dad, and they hated him just because he was a minister filled with the Holy Ghost and had done a marvelous and wonderful work for the Lord. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
I want you to share with people how, you know, your parents have been hit as they were working because they would not yield to the dark side. That's what I'm trying to say. They would not
mm-hmm.
yield to the dark side. And death number two, part of your problem, the devil tried to put unforgiveness and hatred in your heart because of things that had happened to you as a little girl. Am I correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what happened with both of you is that there were spirits that were hiding within your soul. And
yes,
those
yes.
spirits would kind of like draw other evil spirits to come in and pile on top of what was already there, hindering you from the devil. And so I want you to tell people how what they don't know can be harming them, just like what you didn't know was harming you. But then when you found out through the integrated healing prayer model, the puzzle pieces started coming together. You could understand
yes.
more. Either one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me say, prior to coming to, I had never heard of an integrated healing prayer ministry. I knew just the raw deliverance. I knew that, and I had gone through several deliverances. However, it's the part of the integrated healing prayer that it is dealing with spirit, soul, and body. And so a lot of the wounding, I was wounded as a young child, and it never... That part is just—it's almost like I had this raw area that nothing could touch because it was my soul area could not be touched, because I remember going through a session with you, and there was some fragmentation that I never knew. I knew it existed. I didn't even know what to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But then when what happened when I went through not just the part, like you said, it's not just the deliverance, but the other, the wounded spirit, the,
mm-hmm.
and dealing with that, and as I knew some things that had really happened
mm-hmm.
prior to coming there, but
mm-hmm.
like I said, when you, it's almost like you open a can of worms, and I thought it was just one worm in there. There were all these other things that kept coming out. And it did, and I'm like, oh God, it started. Like, at one point I was going through a session, and I'm like, when is this going to stop? The more it started to leap out, and it goes, it's almost like tributaries, and one thing would lead. No, I'm serious. It got to where.
I'm laughing because I know exactly what you mean. That's why.
It did, but I was determined, because it's like once you pull one thing came up, but then it ran into another set of things, and I finally settled down, and I just said, okay, God, I know. I have cried out to you. I have cried out to you for years. And I finally, you brought me to this place. And so because I believe without a shadow of a doubt that you brought me here, the process that you have prepared for me to go through, I was humbled. And I just
mm-hmm.
say, God, I thank you. I thank you for bringing me now, because
mm-hmm.
finally I am able, and I have seen deliverance coming. I have seen, you said, I had physical illness. I had, because of these things that were never dealt with, eventually it brought along an illness which was leading to death. And
yeah.
I mean, it is a matter of life and death.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
but the thing is, and I might sound like I'm trying to stress it. I am trying to stress it. I started becoming, getting different infirmities, that it was almost like a seed that was sown by the devil, and it never got dealt with, and it started to fester, and it was leading to death. So I got to you, and I'm not afraid. I'm not, when I'm saying it, I believe God set it up that I found this ministry at the time that I did.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I mean, I say it when I stress it, because I know where I was when I got there, and I started on a journey, and it's just like it did not come in overnight.
Uh-huh.
It's taken, and I have gone through sessions after sessions, and I
mm-hmm.
see right now, I see where the freedom, there is a freedom, there is a reward. There is something to get at the end. You do get freedom.
Yes.
Mhm.
And then reading the book after, or as you were going along, as a matter of fact, guest number one, you were responsible for other people reading the book, and a couple of those people don't like to read. Excuse me. They don't like to read. But they heard you talking about what was in the book, and they started requesting the book. Now, mind you, I wrote this book in 2000. I think I wrote it in 2000, but I didn't even bother to copyright it until 2007. And right now, it's under revision. But the other thing is, there are three books, volume 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, 6, that go along with this book. And guest number one, how did you started reading book number 1 and 2. And Canada, I'm sending you 1 and 2 today.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, I'm sending you 1 and 2 today. I'm going to send you that e-book. And then when you get here, you know, your books are here.
All right.
Your hard copies are here. But guest number one, tell the listening audience how the book fits in with the ministry and our understanding.
Okay. One thing I'm going to say, the book is the Word of God. It is the Word of God made, and I'm going to say, it becomes to a point where you can understand what you're reading. It is not hard. It is, when I say it is not hard, a 10-year-old, I believe, can understand it because it is made so simple. Now, when I started to read it, it was almost, there would be times when I would just have to put the book down and just shut my eye because the book itself brings on deliverance. The book, I remember when I came across your teaching on hindering spirits, and I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. It was so clear. All I can tell you, if I had access to this book about 5 years ago, my life would be in a totally different place because there are so much in it. Another session you did on transference, we use these terms, we use them, and we use them without understanding what they mean. When you went and you explained what the hindering spirit is, when Paul said that the agent sent from Satan to buffet, these are things that we just read in the scripture, but when you understand that, wait a minute, something has been sent to hinder me, and you're starting not let me not say something, but someone or some people. It made me now realize that if I can go through understanding what these are, because a lot of the reason we're praying and praying and praying and casting out and casting out and casting out, and if you're doing it from your head. But when I read it and I have an understanding, it's more of a heart. I am doing this from my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's easier now because so when I said to Erica, I said, you know what? I think every person that really sincerely come to you, that really wants help, they need to take the book and they need to read the book. Because what the book does is almost like a pre-soak. Mm-hmm. You know when you have a bad stain and you have the overnight soak?
Mm-hmm.
The book pretty much brings you to an awareness of the thing. Mm-hmm. So when you go through a session, it's like, it comes out because your body has already, you've already gotten an exposure and you know what it is. So when you and I would pray and you'd say hindering spirit, you know, or transference, or it all of a sudden, it wasn't,
you know.
I wasn't just saying it just because I repeated what you were saying. I said it with understanding. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, when we talk about asking God for understanding, like I did not understand what I was doing, even though I was praying, and I think because my heart really was right that I wanted freedom, I believe that is why he found, or he allowed us to connect together, because I really, really, really wanted freedom. And I believe that God saw that in my heart, and I believe that's why he brought me to your ministry. But I believe that this book, The Spirits Are Subject Unto You, if a person is going to get deliverance and they want, it would be, you will do a disjustice to yourself not doing the book, because it is going to take your deliverance in a high notch where you're going to walk in freedom.
That's right.
And guest number two, if you allow me to share a little something about your deliverance, and it ties in with the book. When when you came to be delivered, the demons marked your body. They scarred your body, didn't they?
Yes, they did, yes. Until weeks after I came back. Actually, as a matter of fact, up until last week, Ms. Erica, I was anointing my body, and I was still seeing some of those marks. And I know it's something that's coming out for me to see, that I still have some things I need to make sure it's out of my body.
Mm-hmm. And so when you said the prayer in the book, the marks became visible again, right?
Yes, it was that night that I had, when I finished praying all the prayers, I felt led to anoint my body again from head to toe. And as I was anointing my body, I was seeing the marks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But that was during your sovereign deliverance. God was delivering you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't pray with anyone but me and the Holy Spirit in here. It was just, I was declaring the prayers out loud, and it was one of those, because, yes, I had a different understanding about it. So my heart was really into the prayers. My soul was into the prayers. It was just, I just know that I reached a level of that manifestation of the Holy Spirit in here.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, as I anointed myself, yes, the marks came out.
Mm-hmm. So my whole objective in writing this book was to be able to give people a tool that would work for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nothing fancy. It's basically all scripture. But it's simple. It's not complicated.
That's right.
And that's kind of like all of my books, really. They're all simple.
Mm-hmm.
Also, when each of you come, every time you leave, I try to load you up with little bitty books, right?
Right.
So I want my audience to understand that I really want to see people equipped.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot more than just casting out demons.
That's right.
Say that an idiot can cast out a demon. I mean, you don't have to. All you have to do is have faith in God and say go, and the demon got to go.
Yes.
But that is not where it stops. That's really the beginning, because each of you and what I'm knowing, not just understanding, I know that people are bound by things that they don't even know are there. As an example, everywhere you go, it's about 50, 60 books on curses, breaking curses, breaking generational curses, breaking word curses, self-inflicted curses. But the problem is, you can break a curse from now till doomsday if spirit out that is operating behind the curse, then the person's still going to be bound.
Mm-hmm.
They're still going to be bound.
Yeah, so, because it keeps coming back.
Well, it, learning generation, and you break the curse, and I've seen people break them. You know, the word works, the word of God works, but the word of God say cast out demons. So if a demon is behind a curse, and you don't get the demon, how can you break the curse? It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
It's virtually impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I'm so hard on the hidden thing, these hidden works. Both of you, if you had to sum it up, it wasn't what you knew, because the things that you knew, you went to deliverance for those. Am I correct?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And you had those things cast out. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
Many times.
Mm-hmm.
But when you had to come in and deal with the people raw, it can be things. It can be the devil to keep trying to jam you up with and unbelief, doubt and unbelief, doubt and unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the first thing we hear here? Doubt and unbelief.
Doubt and unbelief.
Doubt and unbelief.
Because I know what's about to happen to that person who's come here for ministry. They're not going to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Guess number two. Remember the friend that you brought here with you? And she came thinking I was some kind of reader or something. I don't know what she thought.
Sure. A friend is that came there, yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. So guess number one. When she left here, what did she say? I am healed. I gotta come back.
Uh-huh.
And then she told you to tell me weeks later. Her knee was healed. She didn't even know it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. She said that to me again about a week ago. She just said, I cannot believe this. When I left there, my knees, and she's had issues with it for so long. And what she said, that is a more difference. Her knees are healed.
Mm. So I don't care about people's unbelief. If they have doubt and unbelief, it won't last here. It will not last here. And guess what, too? Like I had to tell you in the heat of your ministry, you got to choose. You choose your demon or you choose Jesus. Isn't that right?
That's right.
And what am I trying to do? God is trying to take your faith to another level.
Another level.
Yes. You cannot stay where you are in Christ. If you do, then the Bible is a lie. The Bible says we go from glory to glory
to glory.
To glory.
Yes.
And people are supposed to do that. And if you're not doing it, ladies and gentlemen, please, if you don't want to come to South Carolina, that's okay. You can get the book. The book is $20. It can be ordered at Amazon.com. But the point is, God has so much more for you. God wants you to know him intimately, personally, and powerfully.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so many people are coming here. These two ladies came here. One was referred from the testimonies of other people in Canada. Am I right, guest number two?
Yes.
And guest number one, when guest one came, they had to call me I don't know how many times on the phone to get me. And since both of these ladies came, I'm still backed up 100 people. I got people mad with me because they can't get me on the phone. But let me tell you something. I want to work with each individual until they are really free. And you cannot do it the microwave session. It don't work. It don't work for me. It don't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
It may work for somebody else. Sometimes, by the way, I have to say, guest number two, you say two nights or three nights?
I came Friday evening and I left Monday. So, yeah.
So
three nights.
Three nights and 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then, now, guest number one, you have actually been here how many times?
I think about five times. I just kind of, I keep coming back because I realize, I'm sorry, I have to laugh because every time I kind of call and I'm just like, you know, I need to call because my situation has been long. This this not happen overnight. And when I stressed to say, I knew, and I had already realized that I had a problem. So I came in there knowing there was something, but it was out of desperation. So, you know, I'm not, when I say I've been down there five times, and this is within a short period.
Mm-hmm. Now, guess number one, there's something else I want to bring up that I want people to know that happened to you. If we had to add up all the money, the land, the property, the antique that you had lost, would it equal almost $1 million or would it go over $1 million?
I believe it's right there, right at about $1 million.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And that was stolen by the devil.
Yes.
And the hidden work actually revealed how it was done. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And now God has you in a restoration. And what I want to do, I know God's going to give it all back. And I want you to come back and tell these people God gave it all back and then some.
That is it. That is it.
You know, will you do that?
I definitely will.
But what happens is when you uncover, expose, and destroy these demons, God says he'll give you double for your trouble.
That's right.
And this is not any hype, and this is not any rah-rah, you know, jack you up kind of stuff here.
Uh-huh.
It's not. And both of you, let me stress this too. Did I charge you any money?
No.
I really got to get that clear again. Did I charge you any money?
No, you didn't.
Now, I have to admit, they gave offerings, though.
Mm-hmm.
They gave offerings. But you know what? I would like to charge money. I would. But God constrains me.
Mm-hmm.
And compels me not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't want people to think that his blessings can be bought.
That's right.
Because they cannot be bought.
Mm-hmm.
And, I want you to talk about the integrated healing prayer homestay, guest number one, because of the fact that when you first came, it had four beds and a table with four chairs in the homestay home.
Uh-huh.
And I want people to know that you were responsible for sending over here some living room furniture and that it was. And I appreciate that. But I want you to tell them where the homestay is now. It's fully furnished, fully equipped, and talk about it.
Right. When when we started, because each time I come there, I take my children with me, and it's, to me, we were actually staying at a hotel, and it was really starting to cost. Erica, the first time there was a place across the street, and by the next time I was preparing to go, I realized that she had gotten the place because the occupants actually moved out. And when I got down there, either the second or the third time, she had just gotten the property, and like she said, she had 4 new mattresses in there. I remember going in there, and it needed some kind of, we actually got in there and mopped the place, and each trip down there, I saw the place transformed, and I believe it, we're looking at a physical place, but it, I see the transformation taking place in our own physical bodies, just the same way she took this old place and she brought life into it, and it, the furniture got in there, the rugs and the pictures on the walls, the teacups, and it, when I go with the children, as they get in there, they run through the door, they know where they're going, and it feels almost like a rescue.
Mm-hmm.
Home.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go there, I work a lot when I'm here in Atlanta. When I go there, I just get in and the sheets are fresh and clean, and we get in there and it's conducive to healing. And so
mm-hmm.
there is a place, and I'm more here of it being more of a rescue. A place where you can be weary and tired, and then Erica either will come over or you go across the street and does the ministry. And I have a little 8-year-old, and you think children don't want to be in this kind of deliverance or praying. And every time we go down there, she says to me, well, when is my turn to go in there with Miss Erica for my one-on-one? This is an 8-year-old that's saying, I know that I get something whenever I come down there. And she has a relationship with my 13-year-old that can confide. And it's very hard when you have preteen or early teen because they don't talk. They just kind of sit and look the other way. But it's almost like Erica's developed on their level a trust and a relationship that when I go there, I thank God because I'm a single parent right now raising these children, and it's good to know that there is a person else that they have that they can speak to and have developed trust. So the home, whenever we come down here, I see it more of a rescue. But it is the warmest. It feels like the house that you go back when you go home to, where your grandmother is. There is a hot kettle, and the furniture is warm and nice, and it is just warm, and it gives. So when you're there, the presence of the Holy Spirit, if I've come from a session across the street and just come back and lie in the bed, and it's the way she fixes it up, it's very warm, and it's very, I don't know, I say it's conducive to healing. And so but it came from just a place that was kind of rough, and she cut the bushes down and she put plants, and it's just beautiful. It is just beautiful. So it is, to me, it is a place, and I keep saying, of refuge. It's,
oh,
you just need a a place to go and, you know, be rescued, I guess.
Now, guest number two, you stayed in my home with me.
Yes, I did. When I found out that it was just going to be me, because you had someone else that was coming, and I thought actually there were other people there, so I was prepared to be staying across the street. But when you said it was just going to be me, I knew that God was going to deal with me that weekend. So I was very thankful for you to open up your home to me, that someone you didn't even know. That was the first time we were meeting. We didn't even talk on the phone.
Right.
So it was just, and I just knew that it was God ordained, and I felt really comfortable there, and I wish I could have stayed longer. So, yeah, it was, yeah, praise God, indeed.
And I don't know, I think both of you had an opportunity to eat some of Chef Joe cooking.
Yes. Oh, boy.
To see what? Sorry, I didn't hear that part.
To eat some of Chef Joe's cooking.
Oh, yes, Brother Joe, yes. I had to stop the last time and say, the way he prepares, it is the most, you know, you can tell when something is prepared with love.
Yes,
always just clean and I mean, everything that he has done, and he fixes these meals, and I think my kids look forward to it too. And they're like, you know, Brother Joe is going to bring over stuff. But he from the fried chicken to the breakfast, kind of like a continental breakfast. This is what it's like. You're at the highest Regency. Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yes, praise the Lord.
I want to thank both of you. I really appreciate this more than you can imagine. As I want to close out, I want to tell people 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Says, therefore, judge nothing before its time, until the Lord comes, who will bring to light those hidden things of darkness. And then shall men have praise of God. I just want both of you, as we close out, to talk about how your praise of God is now that those hidden things are gone. I want you to talk about. Okay.
I can say something that came. You did an illustration in the book where you said the Holy Spirit is like if you close your fists, or if you put your two hands together,
mm-hmm.
And just squeeze it together as tight as you can, and just imagine it being in the center. But because these forces are trying to stop it up, to not let anything go in or out. Because if you realize, Holy Spirit has always been movement, from a mighty rushing wind or a sea that carries you out in the deep. But the thing is, when there is no movement, and that's what happened to the demonic forces that block your ability, the spirit, I'm sorry, your inner spirit, your inner man, that spirit man being blocked. And I think what I have gained, and I'm walking in it, and it is a daily walk, to see that the greater, that when you did that teaching on the strong man, and who is the strong man, that as the body of Christ, having Jesus Christ, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, is inside of me, that I am that greater strong man, that the when he said the spirit of the Lord is upon me, that is the same spirit that is dwelling inside of me. What happened is I knew I had the Holy Spirit, but it was almost like it was, the fist was
I'm able to move in an authority that I was created to move in. And that's what I will say, that it has given me a greater liberty that I can walk in the authority that God has given me as a believer, because His Spirit is in me. And that, I believe, is the greatest experience, I believe, right now, is having these things that were pulling on me or stifling the Spirit of God in me come off. Once they come off, then I'm becoming my true person. I am becoming who God created me to be. I believe that is really what I need to say.
Yes, it's to add to that, it's I agree with what you're saying about learning to really just walk in the power and the authority that you know now that you have. And it's not like we didn't know it before, but now it's really more ingrained. It's really something that you truly believe it, that, hey, I have been given this power and the authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions, and nothing shall by any harm me. And it's really those words that's really is ingrained in a way that I really believe that. And the word that said in Luke 4:18, it's just something that, yes, I've read that scripture before, but now it's to really know that, wait a second, the word says that I have been given, that God has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And it's one of those that even when I'm around people that actually, just as recent as last night, me and my friends were at her sister's place, and there was two people there that I've never really had any chance to speak with, and they come from a Hindu background, I believe, and they were just talking, and one of them was just sharing about a friend of hers that has gone through a lot of tragedy in their lives and all of that, and I just felt the leading in my heart to pray. But at the same time, I was like, oh, really? I need to pray now? Like, I was having this conversation with the Holy Spirit, like, oh, Lord, I don't know. Like, oh, they might feel offended or something because I was thinking of their background and stuff, but no, the Holy Spirit says, pray, and I'm like, oh, okay, Lord. And she was just talking. As soon as she had a pause, I just said, okay, let me just pray. And I closed my eyes, and I started to pray. And then afterwards, and I kept saying Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, I kept saying that. And, when I finished, they were both very grateful, and I was saying, I don't even think you guys know really what you agreed with. I don't think you really know that when you agreed and you were faithful to the prayer that I did, I said, it's in the name of Jesus. So by you agreeing to that, you're saying that it's Jesus that I'm praying to, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they really understood. I know that their life will never be the same.
Maybe God drew them into that. That's what I'm trying to say. Maybe they were at just that point where that's what they needed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But before, what I'm saying is, like, before this whole experience, I would have had that feeling to pray, but I wouldn't have had that boldness. And I would try to kind of ignore that guidance before. But now, everywhere that I have that feeling, okay, it's time to pray. All right, let me pray.
It's the liberty that you've been given.
And it's that discernment now. It's just really so strong. And it's, someone beside me, I'm talking, and or if I just started to pray and they would start coughing, and I just immediately, I'm like, yeah, go. I cast that out in Jesus' name.
Oh, and I got to say this, and I just need to say this. I have a patient that has responded in the most profound way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
Father God. He's responding to just what I'm reading.
Yes.
And I'm going into details. It's just like it's profound. It's just profound. It's profound. He was not supposed to walk, and he's walking. Okay?
Amen. Amen. I might want to ask, just as we get ready to close, guest number one is a nurse. So when she talks about it, that's what she's talking about. She's a nurse.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. We didn't go into that, but I just want to clarify that. Brothers and sisters, I would like to thank you for listening to Erica Joseph Shepherd, a lady exorcist and spirit war fighter. And I pray that God will make you a spirit war fighter too, and that you will overcome and walk in the authority and the victory and the power and the love that God has indwelt you with. So until next time.